So the title of the teaching this week is called The 5,000. Put down the screen as we just read the story. One just little tidbit before we get into the message. There's only two miracles in all the four gospels, which is interesting. Feeding of the 5,000 featured in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the resurrection of Jesus is in all four of those. The rest of the miracles are just, you know, might be here, might be there, might be in the two of them. This one's in all four. So we will be pulling in little bits and pieces occasionally from one of those other three readings. So we're going to start off first. Jesus was seeking solitude. This is verse 13. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. So, trivia question, I guess. Anyone know what Jesus heard happened? He heard about something and he withdrew. Anybody remember? John the Baptist had just been beheaded right before this. And so that was obviously an important person in his life. Several different reasons. Cousin, as far as human side things go, the one who baptized him, fellow teacher, fellow rabbi, friend. And so, yeah, he heard about John the Baptist. Withdrew as he often did, and that's the next slide on the screen. Jesus did this a lot. This wasn't like a one-time thing that he withdrew to pray and to be with God. Here's another example in Mark. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. I'm just thinking about this. If Jesus, the Son of the living God, the only begotten Son, the very word of God needs to do this. How much more do I need to do that? How much more do you need to do that? We were talking earlier, we're all busy, you know, with work or life or, you know, depending on your circumstances, kids, grandkids, whatever it might be. But we also should find the time, make the time to go to a quiet place and pray and read the word and spend time with God. There's another example. This one's from Mark as well, I think. Wait, no, Luke. But now, even more, when the report about him went abroad and great crowds gathered to hear him, and he healed their infirmities, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. And there's more. Those are just a couple of examples. So Jesus was seeking solitude, but he would end up showing compassion. That's our next point, number two. In verse 14, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. So we're going to look at some words here in a minute on the screen. But one of the things, you know, that we're talking about, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, we kind of skip over the miracle of Jesus just healing the sick people. Oh, that's just, Jesus just healed people. I mean, that's crazy. Like the lepers or whatever, there's lots of different options. You know, he cast out demons. Like he did all these things that, yes, they are also miraculous. But we could just easily read over that. Oh, he healed their sick. So let's go to the next slide. So I may be saying this incorrectly, but in Greek, compassion is splanchnismai or something like that. You can try to spell it out or read it out there if you'd like. And it means to have, this should be on the screen too, to have the bowels yearn, figuratively, feel sympathy, to pity, have or be moved with compassion. And so from what I understand from back in this time frame, from hearing this over the years, was like today we would say stuff like, I love you with all my heart. But back in those days, it was like, I love you with my bowels, I guess, or something. And so, you know, we don't say that anymore, but we do. There's still remnants of that type of thing. Like we might say, I have a gut feeling, or trust your gut, or something like that. So there's still something that kind of hangs in there somewhere in our vocabulary. And then there was, now there should be another verse for Mark. Okay, and so when Jesus went ashore and he saw a great crowd, had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and began to teach them many things. So this is the same feeding of the 5,000. This is just a version in Mark. But I wanted to highlight this. They were like a sheep without a shepherd. And that's one of the reasons he had compassion on him. He's the great shepherd. He's the good shepherd. So I wanted to point that out. So next, we're going to look at how the disciples were sharing concerns. This is in verse 15. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." So the disciples are trying to be practical, I guess. And a lot of us want to be practical or logical. It makes sense. Like, you know, later on it says there's 5,000 men besides women and children. And so estimates are 10 to 20,000 people, give or take. You know, we don't know, but 5,000 adult men, we know that much. But realistically, where would they go? We've already seen a couple times they're a remote place, a desolate place. They're in the middle of the wilderness. Where would they go? There's not a golden corral down by the seashore or anything. So the next point, number four, we're going to see how Jesus was stretching their faith. In verse 16, he said, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." I don't think I put this on the slide. What's the next slide, Connor? Okay. All right, we'll go there. I'll go back to another point after this one. So in John chapter 6, lifting up his eyes and seeing the large crowd coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, again, this is from one of the other Gospels that tell this same story. Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so these people may eat?" He said this to him to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. I think there's another slide that says a denarii or denarius is about a day's wage at this time. So 200 days wage wouldn't be enough for people to get like a crumb. So going back to the idea of him saying, "You give them something to eat." And I don't think this is up there. Reminded me of after the crucifixion, Jesus is resurrected. He goes to several of the disciples. I think there were seven of the disciples were fishing, because a lot of them were fishermen before they were disciples. And he goes and he finds Peter. He's sitting on the beach. He's having breakfast. They're eating some fish, I would guess, because they just caught a whole bunch of fish. And three times he asks Peter, "Do you love me?" And three times Peter says something to the effect of, "Yes, Lord, you know I do." And then Jesus told him the first time, "Feed my lambs," the second time, "Tend my sheep," and the third time, "Feed my sheep." That just reminded me of that. So I thought I'd highlight that. Next, we're going to take a look at how the disciples, when really the people didn't have much, but they were going to surrender their resources to Jesus. In verse 17, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. This is one of those things I like about the Bible. It's very specific. I know Anthony used to be a numbers guy. He might not like that, but he used to be. And so 5 loaves, 2 fish. In verse 11 in John 21, I don't remember if this is up there or not. It talks about how right before Jesus restored Peter, Simon Peter went abroad and hauled in a net, and it was full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Like, why do we need to know there were 153 fish? I don't know, but we do. And Jesus wanted us to know that. And so I think it's cool how specific that is. And then the next part, there's going to be some more numbers similar to that, but in other Gospels. Jesus had a plan, and it included seating the crowd, verses 18 and 19. Bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. I think this should be up there in Luke. In Luke 9, but he said to the disciples, "Have them sit down in the groups about 50 each." And the disciples did so, and everyone sat down. In one of the other ones, if it was Mark, maybe Mark or John, I forget which one. One of the other ones, it mentions groups of 150, like 150, not 150. But just those divisions of people also, just these little things remind me of different things. Kind of remind me of the Old Testament, Moses in the wilderness, of how God inspired him to have the people get divided into smaller groups so people could help Moses lead the people, because he couldn't do everything by himself. All right, next up, Jesus is speaking blessing. Verse 19, taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looking up to the heavens, he gave thanks and broke the loaves, and then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. So we mentioned earlier how this miracle is in all four of the Gospels. It reminds me of a few other things, but we're going to get back to those after the next point. So this miraculous provision was satisfying the hungry in verses 20 and 21. They all ate and were satisfied, and disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those people who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. I did look up the word men in Greek, and it was just adult men. It didn't mean anything other than what it says it is. And as we theorized earlier, people think maybe 10 to 20,000 people were in this crowd, which is a lot until you think about the Old Testament again, Moses. The estimates I hear there are like millions of people, millions of Jewish people came out of Egypt on the way to the Promised Land, and God provided manna from heaven for them. Same kind of thing. There were the people that needed food. God miraculously provided. Another thing this reminded me of, I think this will be on the screen, Matthew 4. Yeah. And Jesus was in the wilderness. He was fasting for 40 days, and he was tempted three times. And then one of his ways he was tempted was this. And the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And then we can go back to that Matthew 6 part, Connor. Thank you. So Jesus in Matthew, there's a whole, maybe all of chapter 6 probably would be great. I highlighted a few of these here. We don't have to worry about what we'll eat, drink, or wear. Right there, it says, "Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Okay, Connor, I think we have John 6:35 up there after a couple of verses. Yep, there it is. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." So this reminds me of a few things, but one of the things it reminds me of is communion, the Lord's Supper. Here, typically twice a month, we'll take the bread and the wine that represents or is the body and blood of Jesus, and he's still providing for us today in that way, which also points us back to another verse. I don't think this is up there. John 14:6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So I think that will conclude our message, and we're going to take some prayer requests so we can pray to our great physician and our good shepherd.